you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Texter said it's the dumbest argument. Group of friends got into a drunk high debate argument on whose life you would rather live. Neil Armstrong or Matt LeBlanc? Joey from Friends.
He talked into the night. The kind of talk that seemed important until you discover girls.
Definitely Joey from Friends. I'll take all the money.
Hey, how you doing?
And the other guy's a liar.
Neil Armstrong. Yeah.
But he did work with Kubrick, so that's pretty cool.
We ain't never been to no moon. That's Stanley Kubrick who filmed that, bro.
Rich, famous actor who could probably, you know, date anyone that he wanted to after his career. Or the first person to walk on the moon who will be talked about for forever.
Okay, put an asterisk there. The guy came back and didn't have any cheese with him. We're just going to believe that?
We all know that the moon is not made of green cheese. But what if it were made of barbecue spare ribs? Would you eat it then?
What? I'm confused.
It's a simple question, Doctor. Would you eat the moon if it were made of ribs?
I think I would monetize being Neil Armstrong more than he has.
Brody, Neil Armstrong, or Neil from North Lake?
Would you rather be? Wow.
Why did it appear that Mike was holding back, trying not to cry like the baby that he is?
Well, Neil, I tell you what you are, I can't say on the air.
That was our moon landing.
It's equivalent.
One talk about small step for the score, one giant leap for Bear.
That was really more important to the DNA of my life than to some guy walking on the moon.
This is CBS News color coverage of Man on the Moon.
My office is at 250 North Washington. Anytime you want to meet me there, you call me back on the air. You tell me what time and when, and I'll whip your ass.
What? Wally, say something. I'm speechless.
In your face, Neil Armstrong.
One, two, three,
and here we go. Here we go. Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Excellent work by Chris Tannehill, as always.
Don't you remember when your parents told you stories about having gathered around the television that night to listen to Neil from North Lake talk to Mike Ditka?
It was a remember where you were moment.
It really was. Cronkite there just kind of shaking his head, you know, with a smile on his face.
Yeah.
Remarkable stuff.
Couldn't believe the power and the stuff for humanity that Neil and North Lake provided the world. It was inspiring.
Yep.
Really. You know what's not inspiring, Speaks?
Oh, that's a good segue right there.
Thank you. I could have went with uninspiring, but I went with not inspiring.
Why use two words when you could use one?
Yeah.
Or the other way around?
Exactly.
All right, yeah, carry on.
Forget it. He's not rolling.
Not rolling at all.
The Chicago Cubs.
Unrolling.
So there's two ways that we could come at this, and we will do both. But, all right, it feels like they're going to be sellers. And if and when that happens, who gets the blame for how they've gotten to this point as they're past the halfway point of the season? I'm happy to play the game, the blame game with you before we get to some specifics of what it might look like at the end of the month. Because we still have, you keep saying the calendar is their friend. It's technically true, but it does say July on it today. So it's not early anymore.
Well, John Morosi earlier in the day took us to the selling in a pretty dramatic way. So we'll get there. And I look forward to hearing your thoughts on the selling. And on the blame, I guess I'm just wondering this. I'm wondering if Craig and Jed are pissed at each other, and I wonder, like, if they're doing any sort of internal blame on that. Because as I was listening to Jed over the weekend talking long about this stuff, he clearly has been waiting around believing that they're better than they are. He believed all last year that they were better than they were, you know, and believed that they fell apart because of whatever soft factors and the other, like the Pythagorean stuff and the run differential said they were better. Yeah, and he thought they were better. And it's like he's getting slapped in the face with some reality. Just two things that jumped out from Jed speaking, wanted to get your thoughts on. And here was one as he talked about the malaise that they've been in and how it has not stopped.
When I look at April and how we performed and looked at the rest of it, yeah, I am very surprised. You know, I feel, it felt like, you know, sort of like 2 weeks turned into four, turned into six, it's turned into eight. And that's the reality, right? And I think you weather that storm a little bit for a while, and you sort of you get through it. And we were, you know, we had some games over 500 to play with, and then, you know, it just hasn't ended, you know. And I think that's the hard part. And I think, you know, I think that is a huge factor. And, you know, we haven't been able to spread any games out, you know. And then obviously, you know, our bullpen has struggled and has been, you know, super banged up now. And so that combination is dangerous. But I mean, I really do feel like, yeah, there is huge variance. And you know, I think you don't have to look that far around baseball to see teams that have been struggling and caught fire. I mean, the Mets were 1,100, I think, at one point, and they've played exceptionally well. And it's a funny sport that way. You never know when a team's going to get hot and turn around. We did it last year when certainly no one was expecting us to do that. But, yeah, I mean, I think that the best way I can say it is it's just dragged on a lot longer than we had thought. And now we've walked ourselves into a really tough stretch of schedule.
So 2 weeks became four, became six, became eight. It was kind of visceral. It hit me in that way. And he's talking about how, like, you know, the Mets just caught fire. I always think of 2017 when the Cubs and the Indians both had those terrible starts.
Yeah.
And Terry Francona figured out a way to get the Indians going. And eventually the Cubs got going. But, like, when I hear Jed talk about that, that sounds like that's on Craig and his staff. The fact that the twos became four, became six, became eight. Manager's job, coaching staff's job is to snap them out of it and stop a string like that somehow, some way. And it sounded like Jed was kind of sitting around waiting for that to happen. And it has not happened.
It has not happened. And there's no doubt, man, that I don't know how much blame council deserves for this. Because I feel like the tactician part of it is where his strength is. The, hey, I'm not a bullpen whisperer or anything like that. And this is largely the same team from last year that did win 83 games. We could say they should have won more. They won exactly 83 games. Now, by the way, they're pacing to win way fewer than that this year. Injuries have been worse. Player performance has been worse. He doesn't have his whole coaching staff. I'm sure he deserves part of the blame for this. It's hard for me to pinpoint what blame it is when we play the game of what bullpen pitcher do you trust, and none of us can point to anyone.
Yeah, when I heard that.
So that's what I'm, for me personally, I'm like, listen, if I had an answer to that question, it'd be a lot easier for me to put it on the manager. But, like, I don't blame managers when a team gets shut out. You know, it's like, okay, how many runs is he supposed to come up with? And if I have no bullpen guy that I trust, well, then who the hell is he supposed to go to? I mean, yesterday they scored one run in the first inning, then lose 7-1. Mm-hmm. That's the entirety of the baseball game. So I don't know how much that's on him.
Yeah, when
it's hard for me to say that that's on him, and I would say the same thing about David Ross, by the way.
I
wasn't clamoring to fire David Ross.
Mm-hmm. Listen to Jed talk about what he sees with the players, that they're maybe trying too hard here.
There's a cycle that happens when, like, guys are, I wasn't trying too hard, but, like, I do think, yeah, of course everyone's pressing.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
You see that. You see guys pressing. I mean, these guys are all aware. Like, they're, you know, they know they haven't, you know, scored enough runs over the last, you know, 2 months, and so guys start trying too hard to take the extra base and do the little thing to do it, and, like, to push the run across. And I think that's human nature, and it's a bad cycle.
So he's acknowledging that they're pressing, and it's human nature, and I see all that, and I want Craig and his staff to do more, but I got to tell you, both these moments when I hear these, it doesn't sound like enough thumb from Jed for me. Does it? It doesn't, because it really is more on Jed and team building than it is on a half season of Craig Counsell, when he as a manager is about much more than just the game day management. It is about, to me, the blame is way more for me and, you know, on Jed than it is on Craig. And when
to me, it's on players than Jed, than Craig is somewhere in that mix. And if people want to throw ownership in, I have no problem with that philosophically, but I do struggle with the resources are there, man. The resources are there. Now, if you want to say they spent those resources inappropriately, that's Jed. But they've spent enough money to spend on power slugging or power pitching.
They've given them resources. Haven't. They've given them a lot of different resources, including manager money, including, you know, money for
director
infrastructure,
of pitching, and all that stuff.
All of that front office money and any of those resources that they need. I mean, dating back to Mesa and the complex and everything, and then you know, everything that happened to Wrigley and stuff like that. It is resources to a point, and that's why people will point at ownership and stuff. But I think what comes out of all this to me is clearly on Jed and team building and the lack of a superstar and the desire to try and do it in like inefficient in efficient and kind of
reasonable spending, high floor players, depth.
Yeah, collect a whole bunch of talented and interesting players who could all overachieve together as opposed to some stars to rise above. And I heard those things jump out at me as like, and it makes me wonder if they're, you know, nobody's happy when things are going poorly.
Intelligent spending.
But if they like what I'd love to know what their conversations are like. It's like, Craig, I thought you'd get more out of this. And Craig said, Jed, have you seen what I have to work with here? You're the one who put all this. I've been here for 3 months. How is this on me? That kind of stuff.
Well, the thing with Craig, and we'll talk to him Wednesday at 2:30. And I got to think about the best way to like approach this is like, so he doesn't have his staff of players, and he has a role in the front office stuff, but this is largely the same team from last year. But a thing that we would normally put on a manager is if a team is flat and not trying. I think this team is trying. They've certainly been playing flat. But leading the league in outs on the base paths, being bad defensively, bad situational hitting, those are things that at times we have put on a manager. Is that on him, or did they choose to get worse defensively at some areas? Like, they by choice, right? They are organizationally choosing to get worse at third base for Christopher Morel's bat, etc. And the bullpen is injured, like we talked about. And it's like, I don't know who to blame for Cody Bellinger not knowing the number outs on Friday.
Yeah, that's the
that
manager.
Feels like it should be Cody Bellinger.
It's Cody Bellinger, but it's also the manager.
And
the pressing has to be
somewhat on the manager. I agree.
It has to be.
I agree.
It has to be. But are they pressing because they know they're not good enough? Because they know what they have isn't good enough? Because, you know, it's like a lot of pressure was put on by this hire of the manager and this anointing of the mix that they had. And it has not gone well. So look, it is a mix, and there's a mix in there, but it is by far the focus ends up being on the team building, the concepts of this Cubs build, the roster management, whether the farm system is as good as it is, the allocation of the money on the corner outfield spots, and it precludes you from getting certain people up here to the big leagues, all that stuff. I think Jed is going to end up on the hot seat in this situation if this team is what it is by the end of the year, because this is a year that you were supposed to win.
Yeah, you were supposed to win. I still would bet against him getting fired, so I don't know how hot the seat will be, if that's just going to be a media and a fan thing. I still would expect him to be here next year, but I agree with you that this is mostly on him if you had to pick one person. Yep. The idea of selling, and we got a lot of time to get to that, and there's a lot of people who want to weigh in on what we're talking about right now, so we will take a few phone calls here.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty bleak. Like, if Jed decides to sell, the names are going to be easy, right? Okay, Hector Neris, he's on an expiring contract. You always look through the expiring contracts, but he hasn't been very good. Cody Bellinger, he's on an expiring contract, but he has a player option. So would a team trading for him be scared of him opting in because the slug hasn't been there? But obviously, he does other things well, and he has positional versatility and all of that. But like Bellinger will be an easy name to talk about. Neris will be an easy name to talk about. Kyle Hendricks would be an easy name to talk about. Now, he hasn't been awful, obviously. But I'm just saying, like, those contracts are easy. The thing that is going to be tricky is, are they looking at this as a blip and a small sell to just retool? We were talking with Morosi about it. Full rebuilds and teardowns don't really happen, but
in part because of the way the draft lottery has completely changed.
Correct. But like, would they say, you know, we talk about the White Sox and it's like, can they win within Luis Robert's window? Would the Cubs say Shota Imanaga's value will never be higher? We should trade him. We don't know how many more years Justin Steele has before we can win again, or before he's due for an arm injury. We need to trade Justin Steele.
Three more arbitration eligible years after this one for Justin Steele, who's making $4 million now, not in a UFA until 2028.
So I would assume the answer on that one is a hard no. I would assume Steele is basically untradeable.
Because Steele has not regressed, by the way.
No, he's been
had
great.
A really, really good year, regardless of the zero wins.
But my point is, like, you don't have a lot of obvious rentals to trade that would get you a lot. So in order to, like, really shake it up, because if you just, let's say you just traded the guys that are obvious, Hendricks, Neris, Bellinger, maybe another relief pitcher or something like that, you're in the exact same situation next year.
Yeah, no, they've
like Saya, PCA, Happ, Nico, Dansby, Bush, yeah. Morel. Like your whole diamond is locked in if you aren't really going to start thinking about uncomfortable trades for people.
You're right. I struggle with it when it feels early, and even though the record is what it is, and it is July, it still feels early to have the committed conversations about it, but it's what we do, and it is what it is.
Oh, and you can change your mind. And yes, Hap has a no trade. Saya has a no trade. Like, there are complicating factors here, but right. I'm just saying, like, they don't have a lot of obvious rental candidates that would get you anything that would excite anybody.
And, no, without a doubt, and if you're really going to change it up, if you're really going to look inward and say, oh, we're not what we need to be, then you've got to do more. You've got to do more. And you might have to, as JP Morosi said earlier in the show, might have to eat some money to do it. You know,
they'll go on to be Kyle Schwarber.
Well, but that was really interesting as Morosi talked about eating some money. Because if he's talking about, look, Ian, we'll get you to agree. It's a no trade clause, I know, but let's go to some place like this where you'd like to be and you'll accept it. And then would the Cubs eat half of that money that's remaining? Does Tom Ricketts see that as more palatable to eat money in a trade than he would to go over the competitive balance tax first level? You know, like, manage your money, clearly deemed palatable. They're paying David Ross this year, and they signed Counsel to the big thing. Now, that doesn't go on the payroll. So that's like, it's not.
But it is in their baseball budget, but it doesn't go towards a tax. You're not going to pay $2 for one on the manager's salary.
But it's an interesting thing when Morosi talks about eating the money. All Steve Cohen and the Mets cared about was, let me just go ahead. Yeah, if I got to eat that money to get us better stuff and trade, great. Because I don't care exactly what it's going to mean. And it's more advantageous for us, that kind of thing. That perspective, I'm not sure what it is. And I keep thinking about the Yu Darvish trade to San Diego when they took, frankly, an inferior level of prospect packages. One of them has turned into Owen Casey, and that's good. But they took a low level of prospect package in exchange for the Padres taking all of the money. Padres ate 100% of that $58 million. Peter Seidler was in the midst of an aggressive run trying to take Southern California from the Dodgers. It didn't work out, but they took Darvish and all of that money, and the Cubs were able to get $58 million off the books. So are they looking for that kind of thing in these trades? It's an intriguing moment, that's for sure.
Five callers on the line. I asked Peter to grade them, so if this doesn't go poorly, you know I won't be pointing a thumb. Let's go to Ryan and Lyle. He was the vote of Peter Hansen. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. This is Jed Hoyer's team. He's the architecture. the architect behind this team. This is his fault. His fingerprints are all over this. He's the one to blame. Even going into this season, we had issues with the bullpen, and I don't think he did enough to even address that. And if we do retool, which I think we should, why would you trust him when he failed the first time around? Would you trust him to make those decisions? If you want a new perspective, you should hire somebody else.
You know, there's so many.
Thanks for the call, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan. There's so many factors and decisions under the aegis of a baseball boss. It's so many more than a lot of other sports in terms of the whole organization and every level and overall theories and philosophies and everything like that. And to reduce it to only the big league roster is difficult, but that's the business. This is the life you've chosen. And I think Jed's track record would make it difficult to trust on the big league level that
but
putting it all together.
But it won't be a full rebuild, and he's 1 year into the big council coup, if you want to call it that. And I know the returns are not looking good, but internally it was, oh my God, we got Craig Counsell. And the Shota signing has been very successful. And they do believe in, look at what has happened with Steele and Shota. Like I would say it is still a pretty heavy favorite that Jed Hoyer is doing a state of the team address at Cubs spring training next year.
I think that's probably
even
true.
If they win 75 games and sell at this deadline.
And I still contend that this is a very healthy baseball organization. They are a smart and healthy baseball organization. It's just
that argument is
it's tougher to make.
Is getting tougher to make though.
Getting tougher to make
if you think that they've invested philosophically in the wrong types of players.
Well, there's some of that, and there's some arrogance and belief that they were better on the big league level than they actually were last year, and they trusted some of the metrics about that.
Jake in Lake Geneva is on the score. What up, Jake?
Hey, I like to think that maybe the responsibility for some of this bears on the 670, the score, because they build up the expectation. You know, I mean, just kindly. I mean, if I could take what the coaches want to say and what the coaches believe and what the management and front office wants to believe. But then again, it's also how it's spoon-fed to all of us in Chicago. And there's only one that really has that voice, and that is 670, the score. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for giving us that much power.
On.
Thank you.
Hold on.
Thank you.
He's still there?
He's not. He dropped.
Aww. I mean, it depends if we're talking about...
Thank you, Jake.
If we're talking about public perception as the topic, or if we're talking about the actual team and the people and if they're any good. So if you want to live in the world of ideas and public perception, then we'll go ahead and accept that power. But when it comes to whether the team performs at all or not, we have surprisingly little to do with that.
No, I have everything to do with it. I am the reason why Mitch Trubisky failed and why Caleb Williams will be a success and why the Cubs struggle with runners in scoring position.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I am all-knowing and all-powerful, not only for the Cubs, but also the Bulls and the Bears. Oh, my. I don't really use much of my powers on the White Sox.
No, you
so
don't
that's,
seem
that's
to.
On the Reinsdorfs. But no, it's that is silly and not true,
but you know,
I appreciate
but
it.
But I get it. We're intertwined with it. We're intertwined with it. I think that's part of why I felt like I got kicked in the spiritual nutsack yesterday.
Yeah, right.
Is the intertwining of the confidence, of the belief, of the positivity, and all of that, you know, in terms of what we bring to it. But really, we have no power.
we have no power.
Zero power.
But I really wish that we did. More reaction pouring in, including an absolutely incredible baseball moment locally over the weekend. Yeah, it's true.
And it's going to require some animal forensics.
Max on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started.
before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Are you kidding me? Tune in to Twitch.
Afternoons on the Score.
Deep center. Robert Jr. going back at the warning track. And he jumps up and makes the catch. La Pantana can do it anywhere on the field.
La Pantera, great nickname for the best player, position player on the White Sox. That, of course, is Luis Robert. And baseball coverage on the Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch and still a chance to win tickets to see Mullion Hall live in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage on July 18th. Just have that contest line, 312-540-0670, ready for when you hear a drop from Mullion Hall.
I remember when we were all early on saying, oh yeah, he's got to call him Lou Bob. Lou Bob, yeah, Lou Bob. And like, no, La Pantera.
Yeah, and it's good.
Whew, it is good.
It's very good. And he is very good at baseball when he plays.
He often is very good. He's a brilliant athlete, and he doesn't. He's got flaws as a player, obviously. But boy, when he homers, they go a long, long way.
And he does have flaws as a player, but most people have flaws as players. And he's it's a five-tool game.
Yeah,
he has the power.
Yeah,
he's got the speed, and he's got the glove. Pretty good tools to have.
Those are good tools.
those are good tools to have. So, you know, there is that. But when he hits the ball real far, it makes people do this.
Luis Robert Jr. back at the wall. Adios! La Pantera! On the prowl!
All right, so That is a thing that happened. That is a growl? Is it a purr? It is a panther sound effect.
It's a panther growl.
La Pantera! On the prowl!
It's definitely not a purr. It's more of a growl than a purr.
Let me just say, I had the weekend off, and I didn't pay attention to some baseball games, but I did have that highlight sent to me by, I don't know, eight people.
Well, that's,
I'd say eight
you've curated
people.
Your texts in a way that makes you more likely to receive that.
You think so? Wait, you think so?
I got it in our show group chat, and I got it from nobody else.
All right, I got it in our show group chat, and I got it from, a couple other people in the business, and in the Chicago version of the business, and then I got it from 5 to 6 people in the play-by-play community.
Yeah, Speaks, I can say the same as you. I got probably 20 text messages. I wasn't watching the game. Hey, gonna need you to break down that latest John Triffin home run call for me.
La Pantera! On the prowl!
Right, that's entertaining. Do panthers prowl? Probably. I can see a panther prowling. Like a black panther just kind of slowly walking through the night.
They're a predator, so they prowl.
They prowl?
Yeah.
Okay. Do we know that that's what a panther sounds like? Chris Tannehill, do you have any animal sounds nearby?
You know what? I don't, but, Peter has been an absolute star, especially today, and he's actually booked you guys the Panthers. Go ahead, pot that panther up on the hotline. Let's do the appropriate
Joining
lead.
Us now on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline, download the Circus Sports app today.
It's amazing.
Peter, the intern, has found us a panther.
I knew it. We have a live panther in studio.
Panther, welcome to the Parkinson Spiegel Show. That's interesting. Thank you for joining us.
It's called Sex Panther by Odeon. It's illegal in...
Hey, you know what?
Wow. Okay.
I mean, it's amazing to have the Panther here. Panther, are you a Sox fan? You a White Sox fan? Yeah, that checks out.
How do you feel about Luis Robert invoking your entire species as his nickname? Listen, it's not
He said he's got to go. That's what that means.
It's not his fault that he can't stay healthy, Panther. Jeez. All right. Thank you for joining us, Panther.
La Pantera!
All right, I got
Tanny was afraid of how many follow-up questions we had for the Panther.
I think it might have been a limited...
That's very tight schedule.
A limited vocab on the Panther. He's afraid he was going to keep repeating himself.
Going on up to dial, but we got him first, though.
Oh, nicely booked.
There you go, Peter.
Good job, Peter!
Peter the Panther.
Competitive business.
Yeah, that's right. Getting it done. I got to say, now that I've heard the actual Panther, I thought John Triffin's Panther was pretty good.
It did. It's spot on.
It was really good.
La Pantera! On the prowl.
Yeah, that one.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. You think he's now doing some research?
I think
that's a step too far. I took it too far.
I think he nailed that.
You're saying that his panther growl
is excellent.
Was accurate and researched and prepped.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he did the work. He's like, you know what? If I'm going to do this, let me go ahead. I'd be interested to know, actually, if he did some research on the panther growl or snarl. So that was pretty damn good.
Okay. Yeah, well.
I just hope there's some more coming, though. We got to get some more players with some more animal nicknames, you know?
Oh, that's interesting.
If only Colton Cowser was on this team. Cowser deep!
That's pretty good.
Was there something with Craig Council and the chicken or something like that? Like, wasn't
the
that...
chicken runs at midnight?
Yeah,
yeah, yes. yeah, absolutely.
The chickens come home to roost.
Oh, yeah. See, Dan Hampton is usually my animal guy. Usually go to Hamp for all sorts of animal-related material.
Sooner or later, your chickens come home to roost, and here we go.
Here we go, Hamp.
We can ask Nicky Lopez the next time we have on what type of animal he would be.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew Benintendi. Some sort of meek creature that you don't really hear from much.
What sounds do mice make?
Yeah, exactly.
Andrew Benintendi, a koala, sleeps 22 hours a day.
And the other 2 hours he plays left field. That checks out.
All right. That works.
Nicky Lopez, what animal strikes out the most?
Oh, no.
Peter.
Peter.
Jeez.
Friend of the show.
Jeez. We like Nicky.
We like Bob, too. We like the entire Lopez family.
Eloy, an easily injured
sloth. Guy just likes to hang from walls.
I would like to be the designated hitter.
Garrett Crochet, an antelope.
Oh, yeah.
Long stride.
Run like an antelope out of control. Mm. That dude's good.
Yeah.
Michael Kopech, a skittish house cat.
Similar sound effects.
There are a lot of skittish house cats. Andrew Benintendi.
It's a team full of skittish house cats.
La Pantera!
Yeah. Everyone else is just meowing.
Meow. Meow. Please welcome the starting lineup for the Chicago Skittish House Cats.
Martín Maldonado, a sea turtle. They last in the league for like 100 years. No one knows why.
That's a seal. Turtle.
I like turtles.
It does like turtles. A lot of options here.
Not a bad call.
No, not bad.
I kind of like the growl.
I feel better about it after the segment. I feel like he.
You think it's aged well?
I think it's aged well. I think it's fun
because we added to it with the context of what a panther actually sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, no, he already did the research that we did.
Peter's in trouble.
What'd he do?
Dustin put Panther into Slack like 20 minutes ago.
Oh, damn it!
They're gonna have him.
There's no way Dustin could book a panther.
That's true.
A panther doesn't have the beat for the Tribune anywhere.
Beat you again, Molly and Haw.
I thought, Shane, weren't you due to get us a porcupine at some point?
That can still happen.
Yeah, well, because Bo Jackson got into the Kansas City Royals Hall of Fame this weekend.
Yes, he did.
And Bo, I hope, has had his hiccups cured, because among the things that he tried to do, he said, was to smell a porcupine's butt. To cure the hiccups.
And so we were going to bring in a porcupine.
To smell the butt.
Wait for someone to get the hiccups and then smell his butt.
I don't believe that was part of it.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I didn't think we were going to be able to get the porcupine on an indefinite basis.
Oh, sorry. I took it too far. We just wanted to smell a porcupine's butt and see if it had other healing powers.
Do you have the porcupine booked more often than Mike Florio's on the station? For what reason?
The porcupine just like lives here in the studio waiting for somebody to get the hiccups.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a long time. What have ye, the porcupine, today?
At 10 o'clock and 0000.
Porcupine, what have ye today? Nothing. Porcupine has nothing.
He's got no waiting funds. Around for this opportunity. Until Ray Diaz gets the hiccups.
It's like Wani during the draft show. Everyone talks for 10 minutes. Wani, what do you think? I like it.
I like it. We can book the porcupine for next year's draft show.
Get him up there.
He's good.
He's available. He's not doing something. There is an opportunity. You guys heard something today earlier on the station that apparently made you think of me. I didn't hear it. I'm excited. It's Next to the Score.
Yeah. Okay, we're not asphalting or cutting the lawn here.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on the Score.
We are hard-hitting journalists over here.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Mark Grody and Alyssa Bergamini are here. Little nighttime transition. What are you guys doing? Until 9 tonight? How long do we have this chemistry for?
Yeah, 6 to 9.
Mark
Dirty Frank.
Uh-huh. Mark and Bergs.
Yeah, that's our name together when we do the shows.
Bergs.
Only a few people in my life call me Bergs, and Mark is one of them.
Yep.
And he can do that.
I feel like I thought I'm kind of on the ground floor with the Bergs thing when it comes to work friends.
Yeah.
Like we are.
This is true.
Yeah.
With we're the trying quotes.
To, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're trying
the
to,
air quotes.
Were the quotes there around work or friends?
We're trying to, we're trying to define our relationship, what our friendship is. Like yeah. What exactly we are.
Just goofy work, friends.
We're goofy friends. Yeah. Who every once in a while, we were talking about this backstage. It's like we get one shot a year. Mitch is like, or Porth, whoever decided.
This is it.
This is July 1. We found, that it was about the same time last year. It's like, you know what? Let's try this Grody Bergamini thing and
yep,
see,
sure.
see
and
what
here we
happens.
Are.
And it went so well last year that they waited a year to do it again.
Well, no, all year. They say, you know, it's okay. Let's just do it once a year.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think the contract we've got them.
I think it's tough to build momentum that way. Don't you?
Oh, no, yeah. We got it. We got it going. Okay. We're good.
We need more at bats. Hey, you want to send us down to the minor leagues? You know, go down the hallway or something like that? Mm-hmm. That'd be fine too. But we need reps. We need at bats, Bergs.
That's awesome. You guys have a show. Mark, I want to apologize for hanging up on you this morning when my wife called and never calling you back.
Oh, I'm glad you did that on the air because I did think about that and I knew that was going to happen.
You did?
Yeah, because one of my other friends is like that. The person who I talk to on the phone most, like I have a friend that I still talk to on the phone, which is weird because I text just about everybody else. Every time he gets off the phone with me for his wife.
Yes.
The chances of him calling, he always says, I'll call you right back.
Oh, boy.
It's usually the next day.
But does he always get off the phone for his wife?
It's 100% of the time.
This is, if 100%. I could give a bit of advice out there to anybody, always make sure that your wife or your husband or your boyfriend, whoever it is, make sure they win the iPhone face off as often as possible. If it's your boss, maybe they'll understand. But otherwise, just make sure, like, you know what? I know. I see you thinking about it, Danny. I'm just telling you.
I feel kind of the opposite.
I kind of do, too.
Yeah.
Because it depends.
See you guys in a couple of years.
Yeah. No, it depends, right? Like, sometimes when I'm driving home.
Yeah.
And I'm in traffic and wasting my life on the Kennedy and hating myself. There's, you know, I'm making a call for something for work or something for the radiothon, whatever, something I'm not normally doing.
Yeah.
And my wife is calling, and it's always a version of just like, hey, distract the kids while they're eating, or what time are you going to be home? How's it?
For dinner?
It's just a thing that can happen in 5 minutes.
I understand. And
now, she calls me at 12:55 in the middle of the workday when she knows we have a 1 o'clock meeting. I'm like, oh, she's calling with something important.
I understand.
Drop everything and answer.
I understand. I'm telling you that you are not a good gauge of that context of importance. You are not a good judge of that.
Yeah.
You don't know what it is. And I always think about the Kaminsky Method, which I thought was a very, very well-written show and a very funny show with Michael Douglas and the late Alan Arkin, is that the secret to a good marriage is that the woman must always think that she comes first.
But we do come first.
Nah.
We don't think that. We know.
Yeah. But you're with me. You'll send your boyfriend a voicemail.
I was going to say that they know that they'll be getting a call back eventually.
Sure.
So
you don't automatically pick up when your boyfriend
No,
calls.
I thought this was if someone was on the other line.
Yeah, it says if someone's
oh,
on the
other line. Oh, I got you. Right.
If you're
right,
on the phone.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
my bad.
Hung up on you.
My bad. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
So sometimes if I'm watching a good TikTok and she calls, I'll put her to voicemail too. Is that wrong?
Because then you lose the TikTok.
Yeah. It's like, am I going to get this back?
Look, I'm really.
What is Sydney Sweeney doing tomorrow? I don't know. Can I do that? Is that bad?
Boy, that's a tough specific choice.
I'm just saying.
Specific reference.
She's in my algorithm. My wife knows. It's fine.
She's in mine too. So. Don't worry about that.
Exactly. I think she is the algorithm at this point.
I understand.
But yeah, all right. Thank you, Shrift Dog.
Shrifty Dog.
So you guys had a phone conversation today.
Yeah, we did.
That's adorable.
Me and Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Back to that. Yeah. So
honestly, was there unresolved issues?
I honestly appreciate you acknowledging it.
Because yeah, it was wrong.
My other friend never acknowledges the fact that he didn't like
it. He chooses
like,
his wife
I'll call
over
you back. And I sit there, and guess what, Bergs? Yeah. I fall for it every time. Oh, I sit there waiting by the phone.
Shame.
I'm not going to start this show
That's
right now.
Too bad.
You know what? I'm not going to eat this burger right now because I'm waiting for my friend to
Can
call.
Text
it's
him?
Never going to happen, Mark.
Yeah, you don't
text
have to. You don't have to tell us who your friend is, but are his initials Matt Eberflus?
It's not the Flus. Close though. Close.
Really?
Could it be an offensive lineman for the Chicago? No, I'm kidding. It's not Tevin.
You and Tevin.
Tevin's always hanging up.
Tevin, man. Just
because you got FaceTime.
You know, we met back when she was just your girlfriend, man. When we had that first conversation, we were talking about.
Oh yeah, now she's the fiance
and whatnot. So yeah,
well,
it truly hurt my feelings.
Give your fiance. Say a big hug and take good care of her. And I really appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much, man. Let's do it again soon, okay?
Yes, sir. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, that's yes, sir. On all the
fronts. Thoughts, Melissa?
You guys sound like besties.
Well, see, and there's the irony. That was the first time we had spoken in interview form.
It's because you're so friendly.
I guess.
See? You fooled me there.
I don't know. It was during the pandemic, so maybe we felt like the need for
a connection.
Right, to make new friends and expand. Certainly not leave people out of our lives, that's for sure. So I think that's probably what happened.
I like how you said like twice, like, talk to you soon. See you soon.
I know.
Just to confirm it all.
I know.
What are you guys doing tonight on the radio show?
Well,
about sports.
We have a
all
lot.
All the sports.
We are going to discuss. We are going to talk. Guess what? We're going to talk about something Alyssa does on a daily basis. The White Sox and Chuck Garfine will be joining us at 6:25.
Nice.
From the White Sox pre and post game show. He's on it. Like I said, 6:25. Elise Menaker of the Marquee Sports Network is going to come on and talk about Cubs, plus a big broadcast opportunity.
They're doing the first ever all-female Cubs broadcast
July
on Sunday 7th. With Beth Mowins and Elise and Taylor.
Right.
That's really cool.
We're going to talk all about that. I'm excited. I've actually never spoken to Elise.
She's good.
I know Taylor. Okay.
She knows her stuff.
I'm excited to meet her.
She's super sharp. I did three ball games with her last year in the Cubs radio booth. She was absolutely great to work with. She's very, very good.
Yeah. And she's done pre and post
for
here. Here in the studio and out at Wrigley Field as well. And I know you guys have talked a lot of Bulls today. We're itching to do the same. We'll have Mark Sanowski on from ABC7. And, of course, the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast. I had him on before the draft, and we kind of talked about a bunch of things that could happen. Now, as you guys have been discussing, things are happening in a direction it appears has been chosen. So we'll get Sanowski's thoughts on that a little bit later on.
I'd be interested if you know where he came out of the conversation we had. Like, is it a good moment? Or is it just better than it's been because it's different?
That they're doing something.
Because it's hard for me to get there on good when they're selling off all of these assets for pennies on the dollar.
And I'm stuck on, this is a low bar, but I'm still so happy they acknowledged the need to make change because it didn't feel like, even at the end of the season this year, that Karnišovas was going to admit it. And he did. And now he's acting, not sure if it's good or bad.
He said everything's on the table.
Everything's
so here
on
we
the
are.
Table. Yes.
All right, well, that sounds like a show.
You're right, it is.
We're
9
excited.
O'clock. That'll be great.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
Tune in, everyone.
Happy
Stay tuned
crazy
in.
Kids.
Let's see. We have some thank yous.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.